Breaking news today on Seculo as RFK Jr. is dropping out of the presidential race. And is he the special guest at the Trump event later in the same state?
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, folks, welcome to Seculo. We will take your calls, too, at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Of course, last night, we'll get into it a little bit later in the broadcast with Vice President Harris making what is the biggest speech of her career, 37 minutes, and one of the shortest speeches, if not the shortest speech, certainly headliner speech, in the entire 4 days of the Democrat National Convention. I also think they want to make sure it didn't get too late into the night so that people could see it. That part was actually, I will say, refreshing. There were a couple other areas in foreign policy, and I'll get to it later about why I wished I could believe her, and I think you probably already know those two, but we want to talk about that with someone like Secretary Pompeo, who's going to be joining us later in the broadcast. There was also some interesting, you know, plays there. We're going to talk about that, but again, I know you don't want to hear just a recap of what has been. I'm like just thankful the DNC is over. Because the big news today, and it's already breaking through, Logan, is that one, RFK is not just doing an event in Arizona and a rumor that he might, after that event, go, you know, up biggest update on his campaign and then go over and potentially have a Trump endorsement or endorse at his event and then be at the Trump event. They're both in Arizona, yeah. You know, not far apart from each other in the Phoenix area. RFK event is at 2 p.m. Eastern time. Trump event is at 4 p.m. Eastern time, so perfect for the evening news and the weekend news schedule to get people booked and scheduled out. But and Trump, the team, has already put out an official press release saying they will have a special guest. Now, a lot of people are burned out by special guest.
Yeah, we'll get to that a bit later. But yeah, this has happened today. This morning, RFK officially filed the paperwork to withdraw.
See, this is is the biggest news we got right now.
Yes, I mean, he is withdrawn from the presidential contest, specifically in Arizona, but that is obviously a sign for where it will go later today. And he did that, I think, we were discussing this, because he didn't necessarily have to do this before he's making this speech. Nope. But he did that, I think, again, to get more eyeballs on it, to see why people are the rumors true that he'll be endorsing President Trump. Obviously, we don't have that 100% solidified or locked in, but all signs, whether that is from the Trump campaign saying there'll be a special guest and putting out a silhouette that looks very much like him in this image, or obviously him withdrawing and making this statement, and even there themselves with Nicole Shanahan, his running mate, who kind of saying that this was on the table, Rob Schneider from SNL fame and all the Adam Sandler movies saying, hey, and he's a big RFK guy. He hosted the event we went to as press, saying, hey, I think by the end of the week, this is going to happen. And now it seems like it will come to fruition. Obviously, no guarantees in politics. Anything can change. But it did look like RFK will not only drop out today, but will be making a big announcement. What I believe Nicole Shanahan said on podcast will be what she claimed to be, I'd find the exact quote, but something to the effect of one of the biggest days in political history.
We will talk through why if this endorsement does occur. And listen, I don't know if it will happen at his first event or if he'll tease at that first event that he's like dropping out.
Dropping out, and then I'll see you later.
See you later. I've got another big announcement to make later today. I'll see you later in Arizona. Maybe I'll see some of you later in Arizona at a different event. And then really kind of give the week and the nod.
Yeah.
He could do it at his own event, so he controls the endorsement and then and then, of course, after doing that, then, you know, head to the Trump event, which would, you know, you don't have as much control over.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't know what's going to go. And look, I think you have to be careful with his base. If you're going to want to try to win them over to a Trump way, they needed this. They needed some time because he's been pretty specific about his issues with President Trump. Definitely more with Harris and Biden, but we do have a special guest coming up.
Yeah, Senator Bill Hagerty is going to be joining us, Senator from Tennessee, to weigh in last night's the convention, kind of break it down for us as well, and we'll get questions to him on that and how it affects kind of the last push of the campaign. If you want to talk to us too at 1-800-684-3110, really want your comments on RFK. Would you be comfortable with him in a cabinet role inside the Trump administration? 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ. Donate today at aclj.org. to Secchio. We have a very special guest joining us, a Senator Bill Hagerty of Tennessee, a great friend of ours at the ACLJ. And Senator Hagerty, I just wanted to really get, we were texting last night before Vice President Harris took the stage, and I kind of wanted to go to you because you really, I see you as an expert on the economy and on world affairs as well as a former ambassador to Japan. But first, let's go to the economy. I thought that Harris kind of, where was she the last 4 years on all these big new promises? And what's your take on their economic proposals that they're trying to sell to the American people as such good things like price controls and their new definition of freedom, which means the government telling companies what they can do?
Yeah, it's just amazing how they've gaslit the American public. I'll never forget this, Jordan. The night I won my election in 2020, November of 2020, President Trump called me to congratulate me. And I was looking at the polls at that point. He was ahead 700,000 votes in Pennsylvania. I said, sir, I'll be calling you back later this evening to congratulate you. And he said, well, if I beat Joe Biden, Bill, it wasn't because Joe Biden was my opponent. Not really. He said, my true opponent was the media and big tech. And what we've seen on full display is the media completely, working in harmony with the DNC, the Democratic Party. Barack Obama's team is back. And they're gaslighting the public to extreme. The economic policy that she's put forward reminds me, Jordan, of the kid in the sixth grade who says, free ice cream for everybody if you vote for me. And no idea, no way to deliver on that. And I just can't believe the American public's going to buy it. When you sort of dig into these policies, what it means is massive government control, shortages. You look at their tax policy, Jordan, they're talking about doubling the capital gains tax rate. If they do that, there's going to be a run on the stock market. They will crash the U.S. stock market if they do something like this. These policies that they're proposing are preposterous. They're just trying to come up with gimmicks. They probably have focus groups with the things that sound good to someone that's not going to think through to the second and third order effect. And we have got to now look at the next 74 days as our opportunity to clarify what the truth is. Because she's been on duty here for over 3.5 years. She's caused the problem. We're not going to let the arsonist get rewarded for putting out the fire, are we?
No, I don't think we are. But I do think to take those issues to the American people and in a way that they also understand is going to take people like you who've got that economic background and experience so that when you go out on the campaign trail and speak on these issues, you can really walk through it because people do hear these things and they get the sound bites from the mainstream media and they think, all sounds wonderful. I can go to my grocery store. It's going to cost me, half as much money. And they don't really understand what a price control does, because they've never really experienced it. I think other with like maybe the baby formula shortage and things like that, which was not related to price controls, Americans have not experienced that kind of communist style grocery store experience.
No, they certainly haven't. The only times we have any type of price controls in the United States of America are times of emergency, like when you have a hurricane, tornado, they won't allow a gas station to raise prices abruptly, even though there are shortages there. I know some of the major purveyors have eaten a lot of losses when that's happened because of the laws in place, but America has never experienced that. Frankly, no successful economy ever has experienced it because that is usually what happens at the tail end of a dictatorship. Look at what's happening in Venezuela right now. This is what Maduro is trying to do, and he's destroyed his economy in the process. It doesn't work, never has, and it never will. The American public just needs to understand this and think about the shortages that will result. It also is incredible to me, Jordan, that if you think about the precipitant of this massive inflation, you think about what Harris and Biden did day one when they came in. They waged war on American energy here. They took energy costs up 40% plus immediately when they came in because they want to wage war on the fossil fuel industry here in America, a place where we have a true competitive advantage. The result is everything that has to be shipped, more expensive now. Everybody's got to buy gas to get to work. They're going to require higher wages. That set off immediate inflation. Then you think about the regulations that they've dumped on, regulation after regulation after regulation. They set aside all cost-benefit analysis on regulations. So now companies, banks, you name it, are just inundated with regulation. The cost of regulations now is up $16,000 on average per person in America. You think that's not inflationary? That's exactly what this administration has done. Kamala Harris owns this. And to come in and suggest that it's corporations' fault That is absolutely preposterous.
I know you're heading to an event now. That's great. But I'm glad for you to join us. And again, just final question for you before we let you go, Senator Hagerty, and we'll talk to you more throughout this campaign. From the entire 4 days, what do you think is just most concerning that you see coming out of the convention? Is it the economics, or is it just kind of the whole thing, the foreign policy, the economics, and just kind of the lack of seriousness to the issues that matter? A lot of big fun terms to throw around about redefining freedom, even redefining abortion and what that means, but not a lot of explanation on how that's even going to work and why none of these were tried the last 4 years.
I think my biggest concern is how detached from reality that entire Democrat convention has been. And their messaging, again, completely detached from reality. I think their goal is to use Barack Obama's playbook. You know, you recall the big event in Berlin where they had all those people there when Barack Obama was just elected president. That was a free concert with free beer, and they put Barack Obama on stage. His team is back to doing the same thing with Harris and Walz. They're having free concerts, sticking them on stage, giving the appearance that there's true support here. This entire Democrat convention was given the appearance of excitement and support, and the media are trying to lend credibility to that with what they're saying. Again, the American public needs to look through it. As you say, Jordan, the ability to be on the air with you to discuss this, to talk about it, so the public can understand the truth, I think is absolutely critical. But if you think about the basic facts, like what this administration did in Afghanistan, you know, Harris says she's the last person in the room with Joe Biden. Well, in Afghanistan, we know that Biden went against the recommendation of his Secretary of State. He went against the recommendation of the Secretary of Defense. I guess she's the one that told him to do what he did in Afghanistan and embarrass America like we've never seen in our lifetimes. So we need to hold her to account. That'll be our job over the next 74 days, and I appreciate the opportunity to be on the air to do that with you.
Well, Senator Hagerty, I already told our team, I want that part clipped about just talking about the economics, that first question to you, because I want that to get out far and wide to people, you know, through those reels, through those clips, the way they're now consuming political information, because we need experts like you on that who have come to the U.S. Senate and politics to explain it about, again, why it may sound wonderful and it is actually horrendous in many different ways. It could cause an entire, you know, collapse of the stock market, those kind of issues. So, Senator Hagerty, I appreciate you taking the time to join us today. Logan, I think, again, yeah. that also underscores these relationships we built at the ACLJ. That was something, again, last night that just happened. But, you know, it's like, we need somebody on who can go to all these economic issues. And of course, I know Senator Hagerty well. And so I started texting him before I even, he probably saw that I was starting to send a text. He said, I will definitely get on the air tomorrow. You've got my cell if you can't get to my team because it's still an August recess. And I think that underscores, it's part of the work of the ACLJ that we do is build those relationships
Absolutely.
With top leaders and who are going to be very influential, regardless of this election outcome, into the future. And even more influential if President Trump is reelected.
Yeah, and then if that doesn't happen, sometimes you have to be able to have some friends on both sides of the aisle. The ACLJ has done a really good job of, obviously, you know, people like Hagerty are our friends, but, you know, we're able to build those relationships in Washington, D.C., here in Nashville, around the country with people who there are some, you know, a couple Democrats here and there that you can have some agreements on, especially with something like Israel or situations sure. like that. We can have those bipartisan work. We get to do that at the ACLJ and really get your message out there. We're going to keep discussing this. If you are, and by the way, support the work of the ACLJ right now. I encourage you to do that. If you like this broadcast, do that at ACLJ.org. I did want to take a quick minute before we go to calls or do a next segment is a lot of you just joined us right now on YouTube, and I know you've seen the headline that breaking RFK Jr. dropping out. I wanted to give you a big update on that. Yes, that is that Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's been running as an independent for the last year or so, has decided to suspend his campaign. He's withdrawing his presidential bid in Arizona. That is also where he's going to be having an event today. It also happens to be where President Trump will be having an event today with a surprise special guest. So I think we can all kind of put the pieces together. They want you to put the pieces together. This could be a big moment because, Jordan, unlike a lot of independents, as you said before, when you had a situation like a Ross Perot where he did not drop out, probably caused George H.W. Bush Absolutely. To lose.
Bill Clinton did not win that election without Ross Perot.
And I would say this is even more contested because this is a more divided nation where you have, I mean, the differences between George H.W. Bush and Bill Clinton are not the same as a Kamala Harris and a Donald Trump presidency.
No, I mean, you're talking capitalism versus almost socialism bordering on some kind of almost communist parties. I mean, Comrade Harris and this kind of idea. And then Walz with the 30 trips to China. I still want to add, you know, what of all the places you could go in the world, you choose China for your honeymoon? 1980 China? I mean, this is when China was being some of the most publicly oppressive actions it was taking against its own people because we finally had enough access to see what was going on in China. You know, we didn't.
When Charlie Daniels started talking about China, I feel like.
Right.
You know, it's
when they took a turn to say, you know, we're not just going to be oppressive communists to our own people. We want to become a world power. So we're going to start marching down. We're going to go Soviet style. And again, we need your financial support. I need to encourage you right now. You will have your gifts doubled today at ACLJ.org. We've got a major lawsuit against Massachusetts, and you've seen it throughout the convention, that has launched a deceptive campaign. The state has, and their governor was speaking last night, to pressure women into having abortions and smear the life-saving work of pro-life senators. We've won before. We can win again, but we urgently need your support. We need you to donate today. We are behind. That's usual during these conventions, but we can get back on track at ACLJ.org. Donate today. All right, welcome back to Secchio. We are joined by a team member of the ACLJ team. Of course, you know, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, a senior counsel for global affairs here. Secretary Pompeo, you know, we're just trying to kind of hit these quick for people because, again, I think they went through the entire week of the DNC, and I think for a lot of them, they're just happy it's over. But they did get to see the speech finally by the person that mattered the most, Vice President Harris, last night. And it was interesting to me. She walked a very fine line in handling the war in Gaza, gave a very strong support for Israel, did call for the ceasefire, but the ceasefire, of course, would have to include Hamas, and they have not so far, and Israel has said they would. So, I mean, she wasn't really totally blaming Israel for that. What I kind of put out, and she said, you know, the right for Israel to defend itself. For me, and the tweet I sent out was, I wish, just for Israel's sake, I could believe what she said about Israel last night. I said the same thing about Iran as well. For Israel, it's because of the actions they've taken slowing down weapons and the rhetoric they've used against Israel. And then for Iran, it's because all those Abraham Accords that you worked on and got done that were building really a kind of new NATO in the Middle East to surround Iran, they let just kind of fall apart, go by the wayside when you handed it off to them. And so it's hard to believe her on those two points.
Well, Jordan, first of all, let me say I share the view of your audience. I'm glad it's over. Second, she did mouth the right words. I concur. But everything that her administration has done has put America more at risk in the Middle East. The risk to our young men and women who are on carriers off the coast in the Red Sea, or the folks who are sitting on the ground in Iraq. We've had injuries. We've had soldiers harmed already. And when you try to do what she did last night, which is equivocate, essentially creating a rough moral equivalence between the Hamas terrorists and the world's largest state sponsor of terror in Tehran, and the Israeli people who are simply doing the right thing to defend themselves, to say, gosh, they have the right to defend themselves. That's kind of, it's banal, it's naive, it's not serious. And the actions that the American government has taken, not to put any costs on Iran, to fund the Iranian regime, giving them billions of dollars with which to terrorize the Israeli people. And then to say, gosh, the Gazans have as I think it was President Biden who said, they have a fine point, those people who are protesting. That is a green light for more terror. It is a green light for an awful lot more risk in the Middle East to our Gulf Arab allies. And we are in a perilous time in the Middle East because we have an administration that Vice President Harris is deeply a part of that has failed at its fundamental obligation to secure America and to deter our adversaries.
Yeah, I want to play this for people just so they hear it. This is Byte 28, Vice President Harris last night at the DNC.
And let me be clear. I will always stand up for Israel's right to defend itself. And I will always ensure Israel has the ability to defend itself, because the people of Israel must never face the horror that a terrorist organization called Hamas caused on October 7th, including...
You know, and I think that again, it's wonderful to hear that. I'm glad to hear it for Israel. I just don't believe it. So I want to get to you with this next question with this. Is she vows she's going to stand up to Iran and its proxies. But she also said that, and I thought this was just a low blow and nasty politics, to say that Iran is somehow rooting for Donald Trump to win. We know that there's an assassination plot on Trump by the Ayatollah, the top leaders of Iran, as well as threats against you. I mean, when you travel, so and at all times. So this idea that somehow Iran is rooting for a Trump-Vance victory is again, just another absolute lie from this convention that people need to understand. They need clarity. That's what we're trying to do on the show today, is provide people clarity about what they heard.
Yeah. No, look, it's a nasty lie. I promise you, she has read intelligence that proves that that is a false statement. She knows better. She knows that the Iranian regime has welcomed the Biden administration. Right. It's the follow-on to the Obama administration, where there was a nuclear deal that gave them a pathway to a nuclear weapon, gave them more money to commit their terror. He knows the Biden administration, the Iranian leadership knows that, you know, 4 years of Kamala Harris would be the same team. It'll be Wendy Sherman, Ben Rhodes. It'll be the whole darn gang back in power and giving Iran more license and more space. But apart from what the intelligence says and what she knows, common sense would tell you that the Iranian regime was on its knees by the time we left at the end of January in 2021. They were out of money. They were out of slits. They were out of all the things they needed to continue to inflict terror on the world. And we had the whole world united against them. And that was upended on day one of the Biden administration. So common sense would tell you that if you're the Ayatollah, or you're the president of Iran, or you're the head of the IRGC, their terror operations externally, you are praying that Donald Trump and his team don't come back into power in the United States. And if you're our friend, if you're Israel or the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia or the Emirates or the Bahrainis, you're praying that President Trump comes back, because it had a set of policies that were fundamentally in your nation's best interest.
Secretary Pompeo, we appreciate you joining us throughout this week with your insight to kind of break it down for people. We did the economics before, breaking down the foreign policy so people understand how to explain to their friends and neighbors what they heard last night and why what they heard is a lot different than reality. So we appreciate you being a member of our team at the ACLJ. Thanks for joining us, Logan. Yep. What's interesting, too, is that the President Trump may get a major bump to his campaign today, in a move that, listen, every campaign tries to do this after a convention. It's how can you take over the news cycle the next day?
Well, I mean, what happened last time? Well, that happened last time was that Joe Biden dropped out.
Right.
Joe Biden dropped out right after the Republican National Convention, and all the attention went to Harris. So now you're having a situation where they need that bump. That bump may come from RFK. And again, it may not seem like a big deal, but we're seeing a reaction, huge reaction online. If you're new to our broadcast, by the way, hit that subscribe button right now. We're going to take a call from Ken, who's an ACLJ champion. The ACLJ champion is someone that gives to this organization every month on a recurring basis. And I believe, Ken, you're RFK support.
Yes, I am. Yeah, I've been supporting him for about 8 months now, and I'm really disappointed that he's dropping out. And I don't know if him supporting Trump is going to change my mind to vote for Donald Trump. There's just a lot of things.
What about Ken, though, if he has a role within, like on an issue that you really cared about?
I think a role in trying to root out corruption, I think, would be a big deal.
Well, I think he's going to have a role. I think he's going to have a role. He's not just going to, I don't know if we're going to find that out, by the way, today. That usually comes later on. Maybe sometimes it happens right before the election. George W. Bush did that. Remember, he basically told people who his cabinet would be.
Who his attorney general is going to be.
Yep, and sometimes it happens after. But I think, again, he will have a role. And it sounds like to you, it's like, if it was just an endorsement and then it's like, bye-bye, RFK, that's one thing. If he has a role that you think is significant, kid, that Donald Trump could get your vote.
That might change it. Yeah. It remains to be seen.
Yeah, you got to see what the role is. I think that's very interesting. I mean, I think that's the honest truth. Every RFK supporter is not going to come on board.
No.
But if you look at these states, do we have that state map number? Yeah, okay. So, I mean, he's in this swing states where he's got 5, 6, and 7 points. Yeah. Let's say he just holds on to 2 points. Donald Trump wins the state. I mean, so it's
way bigger than people can imagine.
2% in states those size is hundreds of thousands of votes.
Yeah, hey, we have a second half hour coming up. So if you're not joining us live online on Rumble or on ACLJ.org or on YouTube right now. You may not get us on your local station, but we are broadcasting live. Go to ACLJ.org right now if you want to watch the rest of this show. And as always, while you're there, we are in the middle, towards the end of our Life and Liberty Drive. All donations are doubled. Our important work, not just this broadcast if you're brand new, the incredible legal work that we do here at the organization. We're going to dive into that coming up in the next few segments. And we're also going to continue the conversation on RFK. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Second half hour coming up, less than a minute break.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, folks, welcome back to Seculo. I want to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We've gotten through our special guest today with Senator Hagerty. He was able to join and Secretary Pompeo. And I encourage you, if you missed those, to go back and listen, both on different parts of Harris's speech, one on the economic parts that Senator Hagerty broke down, one on the foreign policy parts that Secretary Pompeo broke down. Senator Hagerty, very close friend of ours, the ACLJ, and Secretary Pompeo, of course, a colleague of ours at the American Center for Law and Justice. But those are the special guests for today. So the rest of the show, it's going to be me, it's going to be Logan, and it's going to be you and your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. And we want to go back to the news of the day, which is that RFK, just about an hour after our broadcast ends live, is going to be doing an event. And Logan, we know from his VP candidate, Nicole Shanahan, who really got all this rolling, more than him. He hasn't
actually said much at all.
No.
So they're waiting for today. They're waiting for today for him to make something. But yeah, she put out a tweet. Obviously, she was on a podcast, said they are weighing their options. And I actually told our producer, Will, here, I said, you know, it was one of the more refreshing moments that I've ever heard in politics because they actually told you what was going on. They didn't hide this. She said, we are weighing our two options. We could get enough percentage points to form a real third party.
Can we? They weren't sure,
but they thought they could maybe do it. But then the risk of a Harris presidency. Or they throw their support behind Trump and try to move everyone there and make a compelling case. It was very refreshing to hear.
And have some influence inside Trump. And that's my question to you. If this, you know, comes through, and we could go through the state numbers in a second about why it could be so important, even if the left tries to play it down, say, you're talking about like 1% of voters, maybe. Well, 1% of voters in most of the states right now would swing the election to Donald Trump if the polls stay this tight. So the idea is, though, is that I don't think RFK Jr. is going to do this for nothing. And what I mean is that he's going to want some role inside the administration.
And Shanahan's put up a couple statements. One, before we get to the one that's on the screen, this one was from last night. Or maybe it was the night before, it said, my old Democrat buddies have been flooding me with frantic calls, texts, and emails. I wouldn't dream of airing those private conversations publicly, but the message is clear. They're terrified of the idea of our movement joining forces with Donald Trump. When I point out what the Democratic Party and their super PACs have done to sabotage our campaign, their response is always, but Trump is worse. Here's an idea. Stop suing us. Let us debate. Quit rigging the media and the polls. It's a simple formula, people. Get with it. So, I mean, that... If those are approved statements, we know where this is headed today.
She's the VP nominee.
And she essentially is saying, we're getting behind Donald Trump. And then she also tweeted, she said, Trump has had 6 court battles to fight during this election, while we have had 9 and counting across the country. By bringing these suits against political opponents, the Democrats bankrupt the underpinning of democracy. What the Democrats consider common course to win elections is the kind of normalcy, in quotes, that leads to famine, sickness, and civil war. This country is ready for administration that represents unity. So again...
We're going to take your calls on it.
I mean, we can't say that 100% it's kind of come, but how could it not?
And what I want to know from people is, one, are you comfortable with him having a role inside the administration? Because I think that's what you're going
to... comments are kind of split on YouTube. I'm seeing some people going, I'm happy he's doing it but I don't trust him.
It doesn't have to be a top role. It doesn't have to be that he's going to be the head of the Department of Justice or the Department of Defense or the CIA.
But then there's people saying, you're very welcome here. Come on, join us.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a big tip party, right? Yeah. We're trying to be the big tip party of the Democrats. Used to say they were, but now they've got so many things you got to check the box off before you're even a member of the party. I mean, I've got friends who are barely hanging on inside that party because of their strong support of Israel. But let me say this, because we're going to get to your calls in the next two segments. That's basically what we're going to be doing in the longer segments. Right now, we know that Harris is building her campaign around expanding abortion. It was Harris herself who sponsored the bill in California to shut down pro-life pregnancy centers. And we defeated her then at the U.S. Supreme Court. Now we filed a major lawsuit against Massachusetts. They've also launched that deceptive campaign. We also want to run that counter campaign to smear the life-saving work of pro-life pregnancy centers. You saw how they are trying to redefine the term abortion. We just fired our lawsuit this week, a huge counter campaign too. We also are representing, of course, our colleague Tulsi Gabbard And many of you in this, again, unprecedented attack on our civil liberties through this Quiet Skies program, where the percentages of American people who are put on it, who have no connection, should be on there whatsoever, are the almost vast majority. I'm not going to give you the exact percent that was shared with us, but over 90% of people on there shouldn't be. And it's even more than 90%. I'll tell you that. So donate to ACLJ today. Double the impact your donation at ACLJ.org. Welcome back to Secular. As we said, we want to really spend these next two segments as the DNC is over, as getting input from you, because we have this, you know, very new move that is likely to happen, it looks like, inside the Republican Party that's going to directly impact our race. And let's put the screen up, because I want you, before we start taking the calls, I want people to start understanding how it has an impact. So throw aside RFK's national support, right? Let's just go to some swing states. So we'll start with Arizona, right? He's at 5.8% right now. In Arizona, if I go to the polls from Real Clear Politics, Harris is ahead by 0.6. Okay? If Kennedy only keeps 2 of that percent, it's a blowout for Donald Trump.
Game over.
Okay? Let's go to the next state. Can we keep it up? Nevada. Let's go to that one, okay? Right now, it's Trump plus 2. If Kennedy keeps another 2, it'd be Trump plus 4, another what? Blowout
right.
for Donald Trump in a state that he did not care.
Yeah, because I understand we are at the point where just a few percentage points is a blowout.
We're talking about hundreds of thousands of votes in some of these states. Yeah. All right, let's keep moving down the list. Wisconsin, he's at 5%. If you actually look at Wisconsin right now for Trump, which is where, of course, the GOP convention was, Harris has got 1.5. So again, even if you don't get the full Kennedy 5%, but you get the 1.6%, you can win it. I mean, so even there, if you get less, you can win. It could be slim, but you could win it.
It's a strategic move to have this happen right now. This could be a very important swing. Look, there was a lot of talk.
Go through the rest of these states. Yeah. It's all the same. Whether Harris is up by 1 or 2 or it's tied or Trump is up by 1 or 2. If you give Trump another 1 or 2, he takes the state.
Well, you have like even Georgia where it's actually Trump is up a little bit.
Yeah.
But just like, I mean, margin of error up, you know, a couple
these
percent,
are all,
but still,
yeah,
that could really boost your entire thing is whether people get behind who are behind RFK can get themselves to the polls to vote for Donald Trump.
And I think it will take two things. He's got to stay on the campaign trail.
He's got to be out there, RFK. Yeah.
And he's got to have a clearly defined role that he can explain to his supporters about why. I mean, Logan, you attended an event here for him.
I did.
Here's the button Logan got because they handed them out to people.
Yeah.
Very old school. It almost looks like something you would have picked up, but they would have been smaller from like his brother
Tennessee for Kennedy.
From his father or his uncle's campaigns.
Look, we were very honest and said it was a very strange event. The entire event was just a bizarre, it was a stand-up comedy night. A stand-up comedy night. But what I could tell you from survey the audience was the audience definitely felt like maybe you're more, Joe Rogan, politically middle, maybe even politically a little left. Like we said, there was like a weird
left, but libertarian.
Not left, but like they may be, you know, a bit more hippie looking, a bit more tote bag carrying, we said, kind of group of people that were there, environmentalists, people that care about that. But then there was also sort of the Kid Rock crowd that was there as well.
Right.
Now, a lot of people were there because it was not unlike what the Harris administration did. There was Russell Brand headlining for free at, you know, one of the greatest venues in the country. So it was pretty cool to go to and to experience it. Now, that being said, what I think Kennedy has done really in the last 3 months is attract a totally different group. Attract a group with his video content, and the content he's putting out online that does go to that sort of conservative group that isn't that comfortable voting for Donald Trump, that doesn't feel great about that. So if he can take those people that he's won over, and I know plenty of them, who felt like he was the person they could go in and feel comfortable voting for. If he can get a couple of them over, it could be a huge deal and a big moment. And I think that this shouldn't be taken lightly if they can convince their base. Because again, that is sort of, remember Joe Rogan just a few weeks ago said, I think RFK is the only one that makes a lot of sense. Now he walked that back pretty quickly. But if he can turn those people onto a President Trump, it could be a really game changer. So let's see what happens today. I'm excited to watch something kind of positive in the news. You know, obviously, a lot of people watched last night the DNC, and I only watched, I'll be honest, because there was this whole frenzy happening online of whether there was pretty much confirmation that there was going to be some megastar surprise guest that was going to introduce Kamala Harris. Will was texting me, it's about to happen. It's about to happen. Russell Brand was watching live, and it went from a video package for Harris to Harris. There was talks of Taylor Swift. There was talks of Beyonce. There was talks of prominent Republican figures. And it ended up being nothing. It was,
but they wanted ratings.
They wanted ratings. In the most, I will say this, as someone who's been involved in the industry, in the most professional wrestling kind of way, promise a surprise and then swerve people. Like you said, give them a video package or nothing. And when they were asked at the end of the night, where was that celebrity? Where was that big special guest? Their answer back was essentially, we have that clip, I guess, right? Here's what they had to say.
In anticipation here and elsewhere that there may be a special guest, I am told by Democrats that Kamala Harris was their guest. They did not want a celebrity at the end of this convention to essentially compete with her. One senior advisor telling me this is a deadly serious election. And if you looked at the end of this program, having a Leon Panetta come on, the former defense secretary, really presenting Vice President Harris as a plausible commander-in-chief, that is one of the reasons I'm told that there was not a celebrity performance at the end.
Yeah, but they essentially did not, they essentially lied to the people and to the media to pop a rating. And that's what happened there, to try to pop a number, because people like me who really had no interest in watching what Kamala Harris had to say, because I kind of had a good idea of what it was going to go, went, okay, you got me. Let's see where we go here. Because, I mean, for me, as someone who covers pop culture a lot, if you're going to get a Taylor Swift fresh off of, you know, the UK Eras tour, thought that'd be pretty interesting. If you get Beyonce, at one point, they're like, Beyonce and Taylor are going to come out together. Again, it's not going to sway my vote one way or the other, but I'd like to see the spectacle. Like a lot of people did and tuned in and were disappointed. But we know today there will be a special guest at President Trump's rally, because it was announced, and even a silhouette showed up that looks, I don't know, maybe a little bit familiar. I'm not sure of the neck on that person, but the rest of them, I don't know about that neck, but that spiky hair does seem to lend itself to maybe RFK. We got a lot of calls coming in. We're going to take some of those coming in the next segment, but I did want to take a minute. We have so many of you joining us, and probably some brand new people. If you're brand new, this is the first time you've ever seen us, I'm going to ask you, if you're watching on whatever platform you're watching on, to hit that subscribe button right now and hit that thumbs up. We appreciate it. We do this show each and every day, Monday through Friday, from noon to 1 Eastern. And then we put up great content throughout. And of course, on ACLJ.org. So do that for me right now. I'd love to see that number. We're at 422,000 strong. I understand that's more ratings than usually CNN gets for a lot of programming, just from you all who decide to watch alternative media sources like ours. So do that. But not only are we a media source, we are also an incredible legal organization, Jordan. We are doing some incredible work, whether that is in the sphere in Washington, D.C., whether that is for life.
So your civil liberties? I mean, our colleague Tulsi Gabbard, civil liberties being violated through this Quiet Skies program. Jim Jordan's opening up an investigation. We have filed the FOIAs, more litigation potentially coming. It's even happening as her husband. And the more we're learning about this program, the more we're learning its ineffectiveness never led to an arrest. So it hasn't stopped any kind of terrorist attack, because it's not for people who are on the terror watch list, but it's for people who are close to being on, supposedly. And yet that was Tulsi Gabbard. So whether it's civil liberties, your constitutional rights, free speech, that's really the bottom line. Because whether, you know, there's no religious liberty without free speech. There's none of these liberties exist without the freedom to express ourselves. And you can see from the left, they have a very different idea of what free speech means. Free speech to them really means speech that they agree with. Everything else is evil and hate speech. That's not where we are at the ACLJ. We defend speech even if we don't like it. Because when we win cases, it wins cases for everybody's speech, not just the speech of our clients. So we need you to support the work of the ACLJ right now. I mean, this is critical. When we come back, I'm going to take all of your phone calls. But right now, let me just break it down for you right now. In election years, you're getting hit up for a lot of donations. We know that. And sometimes they're small donations. You get a lot of these $25 donations. And listen, I'm not telling you not to support candidates. They need your support too. But if you're in a financial position where you are able to donate to some of those candidates, and you've thought about maybe becoming an ACLJ champion, a recurring donor to the ACLJ, or making a larger donation to the ACLJ, because you know this month, if you donated like $100, that's effectively $200. Or if you donated $500, that's effectively $1,000. But that $20 is $40. So it works all up and down what you are comfortable donating. But we are a little bit behind. And the reason is it happens during election time. It just does, because there's a lot more people who aren't usually fundraising so aggressively that are fundraising aggressively to people like you. But we need your support, because we're the ones in court making sure that while all these politicians are out there trying to do important things and get votes, we're making sure that if they get into office, that the laws are protected, that they're able to get the job done, that they're able to drain the swamp without fear.
Your point of view is heard and actually respected.
And you've got a seat at these tables.
Yeah,
with these politicians. And I think we demonstrate that with the senators, with the former cabinet members, with the relationship, of course, you know we have with some of those running right now. So again, we need you right now to donate and be part of our Life and Liberty Drive. And Logan, if people do it, again, when we say it doubles their donation, it's not going to double charge you.
No.
We have a group of donors that say we're going to match it.
Yeah,
and it's so important right now.
Yeah, absolutely. You need to do it right now. I'm going to encourage you to do it. If you're joining us, however you're hearing us, whether that's later on or live, right now, go to aclj.org. Your donations are doubled throughout the month of August. So do it right now. This is the Life and Liberty Drive, an incredibly important time. Scan the QR code on your screen if you can, or just go to aclj.org, whatever's easiest for you. Pay your credit card, PayPal, however it is. We are doing a lot in the world right now, including a huge counter campaign to support pro-life pregnancy centers. And after hearing that whole speech last night, you know they're going to be under attack more than ever if a Harris presidency is to happen. We have to be there for them. Right now, aclj.org, or scan the QR code. Your calls coming up.
All right, welcome back to Seculum. So we're going right to your phone calls. And as we have said, you know, we made that promise to our ACLJ champions. If you let us know when you call in that you're an ACLJ champion, we try to get to those callers first. Let's do it, Logan.
All right. Yep. We got a couple champions. We'll go the one that's been to hold the longest. Let's go to Bill, who's calling on line three. Bill's an ACLJ champion. If you're Bill in Wyoming, hold on. You're Bill number two today. So Bill, ACLJ champion, Bill, you're on the air.
Hi. I heard Nicole Shanahan yesterday on Adam Carolla's podcast, and he was really pushing her as far as how far they're going to go as endorsement. She said they're still working some things out. They weren't happy with Operation Warp Speed, and that's one of the biggest issues, but they're working with the Trump side to...
Well, I'm sure, Bill, that that is... One, thank you for being ACLJ champion, by the way, and supporting the work each and every month. I am sure with his base, because look, as someone who went to that Kennedy event, that was a good portion of it. A lot of people there are upset about that.
That's a lot of Trump's base, and what President Trump said is, we got the vaccine for those who wanted it. What he did not support was the mandates.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what they're going to have to almost be very clear for the RFK audience.
I think people have been very clear on that. That President Trump, basically after that 2 weeks, they said that this didn't work, but it was the blue states kind of seized on it. And the mandate, the pressure on the mandates became almost, well, impossible to like do your job in many places without getting the vaccine unless you had a very good reason not to. So I think that's been now handled. It's not that, again, Donald Trump's not going to ever stop the production of any vaccine if something's hit. No. I don't think what he's going to do, and he didn't do, by the way, is support a mandate that everybody has to take it.
I think they'll just need a paragraph that explains
that. That's it.
That's it. I mean, I think that's what they need to do. All right, let's continue on. We'll go to Lewis, who's calling Colorado, who's also an ACLJ champion. Again, that's someone that gives every month. Lewis, thank you for giving. You're in Colorado, and you're on the air.
Yeah, I gave an extra gift by mail this month. But awesome. Did Harris really say that Trump wasn't serious from a person who can't stop laughing and giggling?
Man, an unserious man. We heard that, yeah.
Yeah, and my governor, Polis, Channel 7 here, checked his comment on Project 25, and they fact-checked him, and he lied about everything that was in that document.
Yes. No,
there were so many.
I have the Project 25 book in my office. It's about this big. It is very deep policy oriented. And it's also a program that was put in place, just so people know, I want to talk to some truth on this. You know, President Trump, when he came into office, because he was an outside politician, he didn't really have like the long list of people to put into the roles that you get to appoint political appointees. And when you don't do that quickly with allies, guess what you get? You get a cabinet who doesn't even agree with you. So he got even his top level people were disagreeing with him. But then you can't even fill the number two, three, four, and five spots in the 12 different divisions inside the Department of Justice. So what they were trying to do was build a resume network of those interested in taking a job in the Trump administration that was vetted by conservative organizations so that you know if you hired them, they were not going to come in and undermine you. Now, I know he's disavowed it. I think that's because he didn't have any role in writing it or putting it together. So if they're going to use this huge thing, might as well. But the way it's been, it's like he said, it's all lies. Everything about it has been a lie.
Yeah, I think so. But that's been the entire speech. Last night, I was just yelling at the screen, kind of like I do, I feel like, in the new Star Wars series. I'm like, that's not how any of this works.
I am so happy it's not today. There's no more conviction to that.
I know, it's
at
over.
At most, you know, we get the RFK endorsement, which seems fun.
All right, let's continue. Yeah, something fun to watch. Let's continue on.
I'm going to get very skinny ties.
Let's go to Ronald in Georgia on line four. Ronald, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. I have a comment on consideration of RFK Jr.
Yep.
I think Trump should take a page out of Abraham Lincoln's playbook. As I remember my history, Lincoln, when he was elected, put a number of people on his cabinet who had disagreed with him. And that allowed Lincoln to get different opinions and hear different voices and to make, agreements with them.
Yeah, listen, I think what you will ultimately see is that you could, they're not necessarily going to be put in positions of disagreement. There are disagreements amongst cabinet members. But what you want to do is you want to start them out in a position that you feel like they are the right person for, because your base will also support them. And so if you're concerned at all about people who think that you're going to push some mandates and things like that again, he's not bad to have it in your cabinet. And by the way, the president can choose to make any position in government a cabinet position. So it might not be one that comes to your mind right now. It might not be the head of a department. It could be an administrator of an agency within a department. He's also big on like clean water. Who is it? Like we do want clean water. We do want clean energy. We should be buying coal that's American coal. It's clean coal. We also want, the idea that wind energy is it really killing the animals and the wildlife and destroy the sound that it makes, the whale, all of this. It's not like anti-Republican to talk those issues.
Yeah,
to
actually talk about
the environment. I want my kids to have clean air, and I want their kids to have it too.
Right. I think that's true. I think there's people, and he's been one of the leaders in that space. Let's go to Judy in Oregon on line six. Judy, you're on the air.
Hello. First, God bless you for everything that you do for us.
Thank you so much.
My question is, the Democrats are claiming that they can fix the mess of the economy that they made. They still have at least five more months in power. Why don't they fix it now?
Well, they're pretending a Biden administration, I feel like, is not happening. I feel like they have so put him in the past that it's like she is running as a not. It feels like Harris is running not as a currently sitting member of the government.
Right.
She's running as a brand new fresh face.
Right. I mean, I wrote it. She said all these big policies she was announcing last night. Why didn't they make any progress? None that I can recall in the last 4 years on any of them. She was there. Number two leader for now, as I said, most powerful country in the world. And I can't recall any progress made on all these big policies. And she had a president we know who was not the strongest guy to put. That was going to push back on you. So why didn't she get any progress? I'm not saying 100%, but any major progress on these goals that she could point to. It was like a wiping of the slate, but guess what? Can't do that when you're vice president.
Look, I want to take the last 2 minutes and hey, we're not going to be able to get to Bill today. Bill, thank you so much. You call in a lot. We'll get back to you another day.
And
We appreciate your support continually, but I want to take this last 2 minutes as we are ending this week to tell you about the incredible work of the ACLJ. As you heard, the campaign against, especially last night, the whole portion on life that happened in Kamala's speech. If you are someone like me who is considered himself a pretty strong pro-life activist, it was really disheartening to hear some of the words that were being spoken, especially the ones that were completely untrue. But we have to fight against that, and we are doing that right now. I told the story as I was walking around Boston a few weeks ago, and I noticed these campaigns that were going specifically against pro-life resource centers, what they call anti-abortion centers. These are places that not only provide prenatal care in terms of ultrasounds, all that, but they also, a lot of them provide diapers, clothes, formula, all the needs to make sure there are no reasons to choose abortion for economic reasons. As RFK actually said, that shouldn't be how we do things in America. But of course, they're under attack. And we are right now, we've filed a lawsuit and we are creating a massive counter campaign. And it is sort of the key moment of this Life and Liberty drive for this month of August. because they've already said, and you heard it last night, it's coming for your town. And maybe starting in Massachusetts and what they think is some sort of friendly state. And trust me, my friends in Massachusetts have told me they are so disheartened by this. But we're going to fight up against it. We are launching this huge counter campaign, a groundbreaking effort to combat the mass deception, help women, obviously save babies, but help these organizations who just want to provide care. Right now, Life and Liberty Drive, the deadline's about a week, and we're a little bit behind, as Jordan said. So I'm going to encourage you, go to aclj.org. We have other donors ready on the other side to match your donation as they come in. So do it today. It's urgently important. And subscribe and thumbs up this video.